Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The United States on Sunday night carried out another round of air attacks against Iran-backed armed groups in Iraq and Syria in response to drone attacks against U.S. personnel and facilities in Iraq. A U.S. defense official with knowledge of the airstrike says the Air Force F-15s and F-16s were used in the operation. The strikes took place at approximately 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The militias are threatening to retaliate. An outbreak in Sydney, Australia, linked to the highly contagious Delta variant of the COVID-19, has grown to 128 cases. Cases have also been recorded in Northern Territory, Queensland, and Western Australia. Officials say it's a crucial time for the country, which has kept the case numbers low with border closures and lockdowns. As search and rescue efforts continue at the Champlain Towers in Surfside, Florida after the collapse last week, Orlando Bravo, a Puerto Rican billionaire, has donated $250,000 for the relief fund. USA Radio News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Let's get an infrastructure bill update with Brad Bernards from the West Texas USA Radio News Bureau.
Wyoming Senator John Barrasso argued during an exclusive interview on Fox News' Sunday Morning Futures that there is no way Republicans are going to support the nearly $1 trillion infrastructure package if it is any way linked and connected to the broader Democratic spending package, which the Wyoming senator called a freight train heading towards socialism.
The White House staff and Schumer and Pelosi, who are beholden to the far left wing of the Democrat Party, said, we're not going to go for this bipartisan bill. And look, this bipartisan bill itself is not yet completely settled. There are a number of Republicans, and I'm one of them, who's not completely sold on it.
Barrasso, a Republican, made the comment one day after President Biden backtracked on previous remarks he made on his intent to sign the bipartisan infrastructure package and confirmed he will fully stand behind it.
USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
After Vice President Kamala Harris spent a few hours in the El Paso, Texas area of the U.S.-Mexico border last week, the crisis continues and border states are calling for other states to help with the surge of illegal immigrants, drugs, sex trafficking, and other porous border realities. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida is sending about 10% of the requested state law enforcement officers by Arizona Governor Doug Ducey and Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
Well, we obviously have a crisis. It's a disaster on the border. Texas asks for support from other states. And when we've had disasters, other states have helped Florida responding to hurricanes. So we feel it's the right thing to do. But we also understand this border crisis is not just about border states. The effects of this go all over across the United States, including in Florida with a lot of the methamphetamine. So we think it's in our state's interest to get this under control. It's in the country's interest. And obviously it will help Texas as well. So we're fulfilling over 10% 10% of their requests nationwide with Florida state law enforcement personnel. We also have assets that are going to be deploying, and we're excited to see these guys off. And we asked the agencies who would do it, and they just asked their personnel for volunteers. They had a huge number of people volunteer. These guys want to be out there because they want to make a difference.
Governor DeSantis on One America News says before, small amounts of methamphetamine was cooked in the United States. Now, because of the open border policy by the current administration, it's being cooked on an industrial scale and carried over the border. Governors in Nebraska and Idaho have also committed to sending assistance. I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Live. Hey, and for you patriots who've decided to join in and to be activated, we say God bless you and thank you, because look, this is heavy lifting. The bureaucracy has gotten so big, as obviously understood when you consider the budget and the amount of money that's out there. And I'll tell you, one of the champions to this cause to hold them accountable is Adam Andrzejewski, who joins us now from Open the Books. He's doing his best to keep them honest. But look, we need to send reinforcements constantly, because, you know, you consider the size of government and how I guess they're all in to cover their back ends, because they really don't want to be found out. And it's so overwhelming. I mean, we're busy taking care of our own family and our own budgets, much less dealing with a $3 trillion plus size of government, which has been bloating, you know, and expanding all the more under this current Democratic regime. Adam, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Great to be on the program, Bill. Thank you very much for your interest in our work.
Well, always, this is the people's money, Adam, and if not you, who's going to hold the government accountable and to look into, you know, the books? And it's massive. I mean, it's not just one set of books. I mean, you imagine to do a forensic on our entire government. I mean, it would probably take decades. What do you think?
Well, I agree. You can move the ball a lot quicker than what you think with good leadership. Look, we're doing at OpenTheBooks.com. We are doing the work Congress should be doing, and that's oversight work of the federal agencies. We elect members of Congress to watch the federal activity in their districts. They're just not doing their job. In fact, they're layering on extra benefits for the federal bureaucrats.
Exactly.
Most people know on June 18th, Congress this year passed a new federal holiday, making June 19th another federal holiday, our 11th yes. federal holiday. And now, Bill, federal bureaucrats, just after 3 years on the job, incredibly, get 44 days of paid time off. And, you know, work week's 5 days, that's nearly 9 weeks of paid time off. And here's the question, is this France?
Exactly. Well, you know, and the thing is, Adam, you know, we had made the comment, you know, President Biden signed the law or signed the holiday into effect, I think like a day and a half prior to, in you know, the weekend. Boy, I've never seen the bureaucracy move so fast in its entire existence. They were, you know, he signs it on one day, a day and a half later, everybody's off. It's amazing how fast the bureaucracy can move when they're incentivized, I guess, for their own interest.
Well, it really threw things into chaos. I mean, also in the private sector, I mean, you have a lot of banking, you've got mortgage origination and all of this stuff, and it all was thrown off in this last second rush to get another federal holiday. Look, we estimated the cost of the 44 days the average bureaucrat gets in paid time off, and that small little benefit bill costs the American taxpayer every year $23 billion. And here's why. When you've got all these federal bureaucrats taking all this time off, your head counts. You have to hire more people. You have to create more positions because everyone's got the day off.
Yes. Wow. $23 billion?
That's what the 44 days on average of a federal bureaucrat, we estimate, costs the American taxpayer. And as you know, it's, you know, the federal pay package is not only about paid time off. They already get lucrative and high salaries. In the 78 largest federal agencies, the average salary is now six figures, over $100,000 a year.
Yeah, this is incredible. This was the headline in the show summary today for you, Adam. As you read, six-figure salaries, bonuses, pensions, 44 days of paid time off. What a gig. I mean, all at the people's expense. And is it worth it?
Job 3 years. I mean, this is pretty incredible to me because you don't see anything like this in the private sector. And I'm an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I've started, private companies that have had exits. I started OpenTheBooks.com, which is a public charity and a nonprofit. You don't see anything like this in the private sector. Here's how it breaks down. Those 44 days of paid time off. 3 years on the job, you get 11 federal holidays now, you get 13 sick days, and 20 vacation days.
Wow. I mean, like you said, in the private sector, this is unheard of. I mean, it's almost like, really what you're holding out, all these kids are graduating from college. I mean, they just ought to make a beeline to become a bureaucrat.
Well, and Congress isn't done conferring benefits on the federal workforce. As we've discussed on your program over the last number of weeks and months, H.R. 1, the quote-unquote Election Reform Act that doesn't really have election reform, would hand out another federal holiday, and that would create Election Day every other year. So then you get to 45 days. It's a full 9 weeks of paid time off for a federal bureaucrat.
Well, the thing is we have now, I mean, we had suggested if you were going to take a holiday, a federal holiday, we should have Election Day, at least every 4 years we take Election Day because that's when we vote for the president. It should be one day. But sadly, what has happened is we're not one day, we're months of voting days. So,
and I want to remind you that Congress back in March, now this was passed, the American Rescue Act, not one single Republican voted for it, was all passed by Democrats. The president signed it, and it actually included, because our auditors read the bill, and we broke this as national news in my column at Forbes, we found a new $500 million perk for federal workers. This was very expensive. It was created with a new $570 million account over at the Treasury Department to establish this benefit. And here's the benefit. Federal employees with kids out of school were eligible for $1,400 per week for 15 weeks. That's $21,000 paid to stay home if their school wasn't full time. So you could be hybrid and the federal employee could qualify for this $21,000 new perk.
And that's because, Adam, everybody else in America had that perk, right? I mean, we got to make it equal. There's such a thing as equity here. And the thing, what I asked you earlier, and I think I was talking over you, is that who's holding this accountable? I mean, for all this additional investment, what are the people getting out of this?
Well, look, most people don't think government runs that well. I don't think we're getting a whole heck of a lot. On your program over the last number of years, we detailed the improper payments, the mistaken and improper payments that the 20 largest federal agencies actually admit to. Mm. And it's a stunning number. They waste over $225 billion a year, and this is what they admit to. Mystifying to us, is why last year a million federal bureaucrats received a performance bonus. It cost the American taxpayer $1.1 billion, Bill. $1 billion, a million federal workers qualified for a performance bonus. We dug a little deeper on that. And it
Hey, I'll tell you what, we got to go to break. So I'll tell you what, I want to see what you had to do in order to qualify for that bonus, okay? We've got more from Adam Angieski, the founder of OpenTheBooks.com, author of Operation Drain the Swamp. More from Adam after this, 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA is working closely with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and with other federal partners to provide COVID-19 vaccines as quickly and safely as they can. The VA knows that you have lots of questions and information is changing so fast, so please check back to the VA.gov website for updates, and they will continue to update the website on a regular basis to give you the latest information. If you find yourself not enrolled in the VA, but you need a COVID-19 vaccine, then go to the VA.gov and locate the nearest VA facility to you so you can reach out and find out how you can schedule your vaccine shots. If you happen to be not only a veteran, but a spouse of a veteran or a caregiver or a CHAMP VA recipient, the VA will contact you and let you know when your vaccine shot will be ready. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. This is Dan Perkins, and thanks for listening.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 30 languages worldwide. A costly burglary at the Tide Ministry production studio in Zimbabwe turned into a great reminder of the power of Jesus Christ to work through his body. We are encouraged by friends and ministry partners who are stepping forward to help replace what was stolen so that our production of Ndebele language programming does continue. And while our studio was already enforced with security measures, we've been enabled to take even more steps to keep the equipment safe from further crimes. Despite the enemy's attempt to use thieves to hinder the Tide Ministry activities, the enemy does not have power over the body of Christ. We at the Tide Ministry praise God that He's in control and that He has provided us with partners to stand with us in every situation. To learn more about the Tide Ministry and how you can be a part of a global initiative to help build God's kingdom and tell the world about Jesus, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
When you speak, I found the sound of peace, be still. The wind and the waves bow to your will. You drown my fear with a love more real than anything, anything I feel.
tell you, the power of God's word, but even more so, the power of his voice. And if ever there was a time, whether it's our country or the world, because it's not always about the United States of America. But many people, no doubt, having just got back from NRB in Dallas, Texas, the National Religious Broadcasters Annual Convention, it was quite the event. The Chosen, if you have not had a chance to see The Chosen, you know, so many people, I mean, the downloads, we had a great opportunity to talk with Dallas Jenkins, and what a figure, and the work that his team have been able to accomplish, all crowdfunded, absolutely free. You can watch this series, and I think they've already, there are 1.6 million downloads. They expect to reach a billion by the end of the year. This is how phenomenal this series is. And it really speaks to a time and place where we are in this world of trying to get a handle on the madness and the craziness that so abounds. And Adam Andrzejewski from Open the Books is only looking at a microcosm, a slight, you know, picture of the manifestation of the insanity when you consider our government and how it's so ineptly run. At our expense, ladies and gentlemen, here in America, we'll come back to this country and talk about we the people are funding this insanity. Six-figure salaries, bonus suspension, 44 days of paid time off, and that's not enough. They want to give them a 45th day. I mean, it is endless. And not to mention, as Adam, and we've reported on this as well, that, they afforded these government officials to get an extra, 15 days of time off, right, in order to take care of their kids if they needed some, you know, help because of the schools not being opened. So an additional benefit that somehow was able to, you know, get passed and put on the side of the bureaucrats. Meanwhile, while the rest of us minions have to suffer and, you know, find aunts and uncles to help out or, you know, take on an extra job. But not government officials. You know, hey, look, we're going to give you more money and we'll give you more time off, right? Isn't that wonderful?
Well, and a million federal bureaucrats got a performance bonus for $1.1 billion. Mm-hmm. And so we dug deeper on how that happens. How can that happen when government really isn't running that well? Most people across the entire continuum think so.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how it happens, Bill. 99.6% of all federal workers are rated fully successful. And that's actually impossible.
Right.
The advertised purity of Ivory soap is only 99.4%.
99.6%. I mean, who's fudging the numbers?
It's impossible.
And yeah, of course it is.
Anybody knows that that's a manufactured number. The whole system's gamed, and that's how you get a million performance bonuses paid out last year.
I mean, how many people, do we know how many people didn't get a bonus?
About the other half, about the other half on the 2.1 million employees that we have access to looking at the payroll records. So mm-hmm. about, you know, I mean, how do you feel if you actually didn't get one?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, well, they're certainly not going to quit their job when you get all these other, you know, six-figure salaries, bonuses, and paid time off, and pensions, and everything like that. So, but still,
amazing.
It is amazing. It's laughable. It's shocking. It causes you to become cynical because they're held to a different standard. Again, this is the problem that we have in this. You know, they talk about a two-tiered, you know, system of government. It's multi-tiered, Adam. I mean, the accommodation that is made for the ruling elite and those that support these people. I mean, it's like, you know, I was talking with Bob Woodson about the war on poverty and all this money that we've spent, you know, close to, you know, somewhere between $25 and $30 trillion since 1964. And I said, Bob, what happened to all the money? He goes, Bill, you understand. He says 70% of that money, at least 70%, what they were able to find, is went to the bureaucrats that administrate the program. And guess what? Most of those bureaucrats are people of color. So it's like, wait a minute. You got to be kidding me. You know, the people of color who are there to serve the people of color are taking advantage, and so they make sure that they're getting these great pensions, time off and everything like that. And this is why the war on poverty is such a fiasco when you got 70% of it is questionable. And I'm, you know, and that's a broad stroke analysis, I would say that, but still, when you 70%, I mean, even when you, you know, contribute to charity, I don't know about you, but I contribute to charity where I check and see what the administrative fees are. If the administrative fees are higher than 25%, I don't donate. I don't participate. And many that
and
we do,
I do
donate.
I think some of those institutional costs may have come down over the course of time, but it's hard to measure, and I'll tell you why. At the federal level, the state mm-hmm. level, the local level, there's all of these layers of government that take money out of the system, so it's very difficult to quantify. We tried to do this with food aid at mm-hmm. the start of the pandemic because the lines at food banks were around the block. So I simply wanted to know from our auditors how much money, when it's appropriated by Congress, when it gets put into the federal agency, then out to the states, then out to the local, how much of it actually ends up, you know, helping people? And it's a very difficult number to quantify. But what we have quantified, and you mentioned the pensions and benefits mm-hmm. at every level here, we have quantified the congressional benefits and the congressional pensions. And just on an episode of American Greed a couple mm-hmm. of days ago, was a new episode called The Con in Congress.
I know, I love
and
this. This is great.
I was in that episode about five or six times with sound bites, and the episode was on Duncan Hunter. Mm-hmm. And whether it's Duncan Hunter or any other former convicted member of Congress, we reached out to the Office of Personnel Management, and this is pretty incredible. Not one single time ever has a convicted member of Congress been stripped of their federal pension. So if they've been convicted, if they've gone to jail, they're still getting paid by you and I, the taxpayer, on their federal pension.
Wow. And this
drives people crazy.
Exactly. But if there was anybody to reform the law, yeah,
and
exactly,
and, you know, they made it so weak again because they write the rules. They made it so weak that no one's ever been stripped. We just got this confirmed a couple of days ago.
Did we lose him here?
I'm not hearing him.
Oh, there. Okay, there we go.
We just got this confirmed a couple of days ago that no member of Congress, once convicted, has ever been stripped of their pension. And obviously, you know, we disagreed with President Trump. He pardoned Duncan Hunter. So Duncan Hunter is certainly going to get his pension.
Yes, without a doubt. Yeah, but even for those that have been convicted, as you say, hey, life goes on. They're a former congressman. And after, you know, a couple of years, the stain and embarrassment of why, you know, their conviction and why they're no longer a senator or a congressman just kind of goes by the wayside. And meanwhile, you know, they still have standing in the community.
Right. And Hunter, you know, we detail this out on the episode of American Greed. Prosecutors alleged that Hunter and his wife, they were very aggressive with their campaign funds. They were alleged to use over $250,000 for their own personal use, including family meals, medical bills, vacations, school tuition, and they even flew the family's pet rabbit, Egbert, cross country from their home in San Diego to Washington, D.C.
Wow. First class rabbit seating and everything. I mean, hey, I guess it's a good deal if you can get away with it. Well, in this case, not so much so. He's no longer a congressman. But needless to say, you know, the problem that we have, as you say, is that, you know, we've got brain surgeons doing brain surgery on themselves. And, you know, it's like at our expense, no less. Unbelievable. Adam, how can people be in touch with you?
OpenTheBooks.com. Just come to the website and sign up for our weekly email. We'll not leave you disappointed. We got a lot of great stuff coming down the pike.
As I say, we need reinforcements. We got to hold them accountable. He is the founder of OpenTheBooks.com, author of Operation Drain the Swamp, Adam Angieski. Thank you, Adam. Take care. Godspeed, buddy.
Thank you.
Are you worried about refinancing your mortgage only to find a better rate later? Introducing the No Regret Refinance from Network Capital Funding Corporation. Mortgage rates are near all-time lows, and Network Capital is now offering one of our lowest 30-year fixed rates ever, 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. With a rate this low, you'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Our unique process is fast, simple, and secure. And right now, the Network Capital 30-year fixed rate is 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. Now, today's low rates won't last, so talk to us about the No Regret Refinance. Finance today. Call the experts at Network Capital right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the Finance Law number 603D787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The United States on Sunday night carried out another round of air attacks against Iran-backed armed groups in Iraq and Syria in response to drone attacks against U.S. personnel and facilities in Iraq. A U.S. defense official with knowledge of the airstrike says the Air Force F-15s and F-16s were used in the operation. The strikes took place at approximately 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The militias are threatening to retaliate. An outbreak in Sydney, Australia, linked to the highly contagious Delta variant of the COVID-19, has grown to 128 cases. Cases have also been recorded in Northern Territory, Queensland, and Western Australia. Officials say it's a crucial time for the country, which has kept the case numbers low with border closures and lockdowns. As search and rescue efforts continue at the Champlain Towers in Surfside, Florida after the collapse last week, Orlando Bravo, a Puerto Rican billionaire, has donated $250,000 for the relief fund. USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Hey, we're back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Last week, we heard from the Supreme Court a decision that left people a bit confused regarding Obamacare. And it's a wonder because you're going, wait a minute, how is this, you know, going to be supported? The tax mandate has been taken away. I mean, this has been death by a thousand cuts. It just keeps on, you know, not performing, but yet it's still around. To me, I would think as an embarrassment for anybody that would want to support a national health care system, because it's hanging by a thread even still. But the Supreme Court made a decision that was a bit confusing, which included, you know, a couple of Donald Trump appointees that, if you remember, during the hearings of said Supreme Court justices, then nominees, there was just great concern that Obamacare was going to be done away with, that there was going to be wholesale changes, radical decisions. But I don't think we've seen that to be the case. And two, in particular, sided with the majority on this. And here to kind of clear this up, and I'm so grateful to have Professor Rob Nadelson back with us. He wrote an op-ed in the Epic Times about this. He's a former constitutional law professor, constitutional historian, senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independent Institute in Denver. With all that background, you know that he's an expert and can go a long way in helping us understand what happened. Professor, welcome back. Good to have you here on the show. How are you, sir?
Thanks, and thank you for the build-up. I appreciate it.
Well, I just, you know, it's so important because, you know, right now in this era of where opinion rules, you know, forget the facts. Let's just, you know, let's just opinionate on everything. You know, this is why this show is so dedicated to pursuing the truth no matter where it leads, because we want to get the facts. Get away from all the hyperbole and stuff that just seems to be exacerbating the emotions. We want a reason. So thank you for coming on.
Well, you're quite welcome. And you know, it looks like the Obamacare, something like the monster from the Blue Lagoon. I mean,
exactly.
Shooting at it. And,
now, how many heads does this thing have?
It keeps on coming. It keeps on coming.
Well, Nancy Pelosi said we had to pass it to find out what's in it. It's some multi-headed, you know, like you say, Blue Lagoon Leviathan here.
Let's unpack it for listeners.
Yes,
shall
please.
We?
Thank you.
The centerpiece for the Obamacare statute, which was passed in 2009, was something called the individual mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a requirement that everyone in the country practically buy government-approved health insurance. Everyone agreed that that mandate was central to the entire law. And the reason that was the case was because the government imposed regulations and mandates on private insurance companies that they couldn't pay for unless they got your business.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mandate on individuals was designed to provide them with the wherewithal so they could meet all the other mandates. Well, when Obamacare went before the Supreme Court in 2012, there were four issues before the court. And what a lot of people don't understand is actually opponents of Obamacare won three of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
But the individual mandate was ultimately upheld because there was a financial penalty attached to it, and five members of the court, led by Chief Justice Roberts, said this could be construed as a tax.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
And the way he did that, Rob, was he kind of imposed himself in that situation because you know the administration they had said repeatedly this is not a tax, this is not a tax, this
right.
is not a tax, and so when he said tax, they said no. He said yes, in a wink, because if it's not a tax, we can't support you. Have no standing, in essence, right?
That's right. The case was bizarre in a number of ways, and that was one of them. The other thing is that the statute itself described the financial penalties as penalties, not as a tax.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, if the court had thought that the tax issue was so important, nobody really took it seriously, so nobody provided any information or briefs on the subject of any length. If they had thought it was really serious, and they should have asked for rebriefing, in other words, asked the parties and the friends of the court to come in with new information, because if they had done that, they would have discovered that actually it's not a tax, as the Constitution uses that word, and as several years later, I published an article in Case Western Law Review about all the reasons it's not a tax, and that's never been controverted.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, it was a tax. In 2015, the court bailed out Obamacare again by saying that federal exchanges were to be construed as state exchanges, even though the statute said state exchanges. And now most recently, and then in 2017, Congress comes along and repeals the financial penalty, right?
Mm,
so
yes.
It's no tax.
Right.
No tax, no mandate, no mandate. The mandate is central to the law, no law, right?
Right.
I mean, so naively assuming that logic has something to do with it, Texas and 18 other states sued to get rid of the mandate and Obamacare because Obamacare is costing them a ton of money every year, billions of dollars. And now the Supreme Court, through Justice Breyer, comes back and says, well, you're not technically suing on the mandate. That's not what's causing your losses. The other parts of Obamacare are causing your losses, and therefore you don't have standing to challenge the mandate. And the response to that is, huh?
Yes, exactly.
As Justice Alito pointed out in his dissent, the court has often said that if there's something causing
something else to cause you damage, you can go after the causer, you know, the thing that's causing you the damage. And here the mandate's causing the damage. But the, by holding that there's no standing, we're once again, we are still saddled with a law that by the court's own standards is unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm. Professor, you know, going back when the case came before the Supreme Court, what I found eerily suspicious was when then President Obama fired what I believe to be a salvo over the bow of the boat of the Supreme Court, and particularly Justice Roberts, because they were still, you know, trying to figure out how to get their heads around this stuff. And then shortly after the firing of that salvo, Roberts comes with his decision that, again, just like you said, in perfect response, you heard people around the country going, huh? You know?
Right, right. There's been a lot of speculation of the extent to which Justice Roberts or other justices are inordinately influenced by inside the Beltway cocktail party stuff.
Yes.
I mean, everybody agrees that Justice Thomas doesn't give a darn about it.
Mm-hmm.
But for the other justices, people really begin to wonder sometimes. Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh, who tend to vote together, mm-hmm. are both very much creatures of D.C. I mean, mm-hmm. Kavanaugh was even born in D.C.
Yes.
They were educated outside the Beltway, but they practiced law, and then they became justices on the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. And so you have to wonder what social or psychological influences there might be. That's one of the reasons I was so glad to see Justice Gorsuch come on the court, because he's from Colorado.
Colorado, right.
Where I speak from. Mm-hmm. And therefore he represents flyover country where none of the other justices really did.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised. I don't know, maybe just my reading of Kavanaugh, that he would be, you know, so influenced by the Beltway cocktail circuit, especially the way he was mistreated during the nomination. But I guess a lot can be forgiven very quickly over the first cocktail party, an invite.
Yeah, and we don't really know. I mean, we're speculating about men we've never met.
Yeah, exactly.
Psychologists.
Yeah.
But I see the results, and what I see is, number one, let me back up just quickly. The whole idea of preserving liberty in the Constitution was its limits on the federal government, specifically limits on its enumerated powers. And then the Bill of Rights was simply ancillary or, you know, adjunct to that.
Mm-hmm.
What the court has really done is they've given up enforcing the main limits on federal power, the enumerated powers. That's the Obamacare decision.
Right.
And then they go back and in partial amends, they try to come back and super enforce the Bill of Rights by doing things like saying a 14-year-old cheerleader has a right to flip off her school when she's on the when she's on the cheerleading team. You know,
right.
It's sort of like they're concentrating.
Exactly. Well, we've got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there. More from Rob Nielsen.
And Medicare is your main source of insurance. Pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was
was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Great to have you sharing a part of your day with us. I'm Bill Martinez. With us is Professor Robert Nadelson, former constitutional law professor, constitutional historian, senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independent Institute in Denver. We will not be holding a test afterwards, but what we're sharing with you is critical because the fact of the matter is whether it is a test in a classroom, it is a test in everyday life with what's happening with our government. Is it not, Professor?
It is. And by the way, I stand corrected on one thing. It's actually the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Okay.
Blue Lagoon. And they were able to stop the creature, at least initially in the first episode, with bullets, unlike Obamacare, which just keeps on coming.
It is that one that just keeps on living for whatever reason. I mean, because nobody seems to be asking the question is, okay, people want to have a national health care program. Why can't we come up with something? I mean, for all these years, that makes sense to reform. And if you still want to, for the sake of the legacy of Barack Obama, put his name on it, or if he says, okay, you're reforming it so much, I don't want to be associated with it, okay, that's fine too. But I really don't care. What I care about is people who are in a dire health crisis. If we're going to be spending a lot of the people's money, trillions of dollars, why don't we spend it in a way that is going to be for good and beneficial for the taxpayer and not specifically for somebody's legacy or a political party?
Well, yeah, I generally agree with that. But I would say that the reason we haven't come up with a workable national health care program is because one doesn't exist. Healthcare is really too complicated and too important to be left to the government. I'm from a medical family. I'm old enough to remember back before the federal government became heavily involved in healthcare. The costs were extremely reasonable. Healthcare was very accessible. The states had ways of paying for the health care for the poor and other people who couldn't otherwise afford it. Physicians themselves teamed in to take care of people who couldn't afford it. I remember, for example, my dad, who was a general practice physician, charged the equivalent in today's money of about $30 for a house call. That's a house call. Maybe right. $25 for an office visit.
Office visit.
And the response to that is, well, healthcare costs have gone up because of technology. No, that's nonsense. Technology over a long time term tends to drive costs down. The reason we have such an expensive, inaccessible, clumsy healthcare system is precisely because the government and insurance companies have interjected themselves between the doctor and the patient. We need to have a system where patients pay, where doctors compete for patients' visits, and healthcare is limited to catastrophic or serious emergencies where the bill really is out of people's reach.
No, you're exactly right, and in that basis, I agree with you. I'm a free market guy. I believe the markets will heal themselves, and it seems that every time the government wants to interject itself, it becomes more complicated. We were just talking with Adam Angieski from Open the Books, and the government comes in with its bureaucracy, and then we've got this all these layers of bureaucracy that comes in that has to be fed, that erodes and adds additional problems and cost. You know, like, for example, I mean, I've been dealing, I'm the kind of alternative healthcare mindset kind of guy, and I deal with cash and carry up until recently, but for me it was cash and carry with doctors. I worked out negotiated rates because they like cash better than having to go through insurance companies. Because insurance companies, as you know, with your background and understanding, about anywhere from 35-40% of a office visit cost is in the handling of insurance. And these doctors have to, you know, they've got to wait anywhere 90-120 days for payment from insurance companies. I mean, they're really held hostage by, you know, that part of the bureaucracy. So I agree with you, and it's problematic. So when you go in and you negotiate a pre-negotiated rate with a doctor, you're saying, hey, it's cash. For the most part, I've not had a problem with those everyday issues, like you say. Something of a catastrophic nature, yes, then I agree. We need to come up with something that can manage as well.
We need health insurance. We need health insurance. That answer. A good way to think about this is a windshield wipers. If you need to get more windshield wiper blades, you go into a AutoZone or similar store and it costs you maybe $25. You can't spend more than that, but they're relatively inexpensive. I'd like you to ask yourself, what would they cost if insurance covered them? If your auto insurance covered, you know, they'd be $250.
Oh, of course.
That's
exactly right.
And again, if you think about it, my father's office visit, house call. I mean, you can't even get house calls at all anymore. So let's just talk about office visits. My dad's office visit, before the government became involved, about $25 in today's money. Today it might be $150, $200, so specialist $300 for a single visit. What's the difference? The difference is the so-called third party payer system. That is to say, government entities and insurance. You get the government out of that, suddenly things become far more affordable. But unfortunately, when the government steps in to cure the problems that it creates, it invariably makes them worse. And so it's a kind of a vicious cycle.
Well, and here it is, you know, for people like your father who, you know, could talk to his patients and relate at that level. Today, they can't afford the time. They're deluged with paperwork to such a degree. And one of my best friends is a young guy I grew up with. And he's my personal doctor, and he says, Bill, you have no idea how much time I spent just administrating. I mean, every appointment, it's the time of that appointment, and plus another 30, and it could be 30, 45 minutes, depending on how complicated the situation is, in terms of filing all the paperwork.
That's right. In fact, here's another anecdote involving another member of my family. My brother is an OBGYN. A woman's doctor. He went to work for a practice, and he was severely criticized by the management of the practice for spending too much time with the patients, for chatting with the patients, getting to know them, understanding their wider symptoms. Because, you know, when the patient comes in with a specific problem, there often may be background things that the patient doesn't think to mention that you've got to Well, he got in trouble because given the pressures of today's medical practice, you must see, you know, as many patients as possible, sometimes stack them up two in a given time slot to
exactly.
generate the money to cover all the overhead, to cover the Obamacare nonsense, to cover the insurance stuff and so forth. So we've really gotten ourselves in a difficult situation here, and I think it's going to require a lot of public education before people understand that healthcare is simply too important to leave to the government.
Yeah, and some of that education is experiential, and this is what we're realizing as we've gone through the promise of Obamacare. How did that work for you? And so we're having this discussion with a lot more enlightenment than we had, you know, 20 years ago. And we also have the proof, just to your point, that when government gets in the way of things, they get in the way of things. You know, it's not an expedition,
yeah,
right?
But there's another. There's something else working in the other direction too, Bill. If you talk to Canadians, overwhelmingly they like their single payer system. Mm-hmm. Why do they like their single payer system? Even though it's hard to get an MRI, you may be waiting for months. And even though if it's really serious, you want to go to the States, because they've really known nothing else.
Exactly.
And they've been propagandized, and they can't imagine a free market system anymore because their health care system has been in effect now for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we've noticed with Obamacare is that when it first came in, it was highly unpopular, but now it's more popular. More people have accepted it because they've forgotten what they've lost.
Exactly.
So there is that experiential learning, you're correct, but there's also like a counter tide which works in the other direction.
Good point. Regarding the court itself, it seems, Professor, that and this is the case of anything, I guess in life we could say this, is that you go through cycles, and the court had its season of activism, and it seems that to some degree, that has been drawn back a little bit. What's your analysis?
I think that's right. It's not true that we have a conservative Supreme Court. I mean, you hear that drumbeat both from Republican partisans who want to praise Republican presidents for their appointments to the court, but you also hear it from the media. It's a conservative court, 6-3 majority. That actually is a bunch of bovine excrement. It's simply not true.
Yes.
What we have is a very diversified court right now. Three activist liberal justices, one staunch originalist, Justice Thomas, two justices, Alito and Gorsuch, who usually bend in an originalist direction, and then several people in the middle, led by Chief Justice Roberts, who could be described as judicial minimalists, which is a fancy way of saying they don't like to make waves.
Exactly.
And so the result of that has been, one person described it as a 3-3-3 court, but even that is an oversimplification. One result of that has been the court has been very cautious. Unfortunately, its cautiousness often is cautiousness about upsetting the Beltway crowd.
Exactly.
Now, they get life terms, so they don't have to worry about upsetting the Beltway crowd. So if they're not willing to upset the Beltway crowd in order to reach the correct decision, maybe they should resign.
Without a doubt. What are we paying them for? I mean, because I got to tell you, people were outraged over this situation. I mean, you know, this last election. I mean, they've dodged this three ways to Sunday. And, you know, meanwhile, you've got a large number of Americans that feel, over half of America feels that this past election was bogus. That's not good.
You know, it's not good. I actually supported the court in turning down its suit to overturn the election from Texas because I did not think they were standing in those circumstances for reasons we can't go in right now.
Right.
But generally speaking, the courts, plural, have dismissed election after election case on standing and the result.
Professor, we got to leave it there. You got to come back. We got to talk about this.
Yeah.
Rob Nagelson, thank you.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Boost our Medicaid.